listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Queen of Automation. Today, I am once again talking to Anthony. This is Chronically Automated, and we are talking about... What are we talking about today, Anthony? To-do lists, right? Automating our to-do lists?
We are talking about automating stuff. Tasks and all this great stuff. Automating stuff.
So we're focusing on to-do lists today, correct?
Yes.
So one of the things, and I know I touched base on this the last time, you know, our last episode, how, you know, the small things for me get lost in the weeds, right? Like, or I forget, and I, you know, they're really small, simple things. Well, task lists are huge when it comes to this kind of thing, right? For at least for me. So I would love to hear your research, because I know you did some research on how, you know, automating task lists can help these kind of neurodiverse brains. So we'll start with you, and then we can kind of each jump in and tell our stories about how we kind of handle that, because I know they're probably pretty similar scenarios, but you never know.
Yeah. So thank you, Megan. I'm so happy to be here. I really am. I mean, we're talking about something, honestly, that's been part of my life for, you know, my entire career. Tasks and automatic tasks and automation and things like that, although I didn't know what it was at the time. But, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday and they said, what exactly does automation mean? So I'm going to take a step back for a second, because I think that's very important to explain to some people, right? Because automation, basically, when we say automate your tasks, and we're going to get into this, it is letting your system basically handle repeating stuff, since we don't have to rewrite it, right? And a lot of this really has to do with it. You know, as Megan was saying before, you know, when we talk about, you know, neurodiverse people, when you're every day, when you're thinking about, oh my goodness, what do I actually have to do today? And you're like, oh man, my head hurts. I'm thinking about this. This is just normal people that think of this, that are not organized. But neurodiverse people, man, I mean, there are a lot of odd things that really you can unpack here about that. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to letting the system handle things that are repeatable. So when you're kind of all over the place and not really able to focus on some things, you know, today, for example, with me, I have trigeminal neuralgia is part of, you know, my MS. And trigeminal neuralgia is a pain that is based on the trigeminal nerve that hurts the face and everything. So you can imagine the tasks and everything that you're thinking about as you're doing meetings, or you're trying to, or podcasts for that matter. So when you have repeatable tasks and when you're able to automate things, whether it's calendar invites, whether it's, you know, workflows that just happen, you know, I mean, today I was able to literally go on and do some cold calling from our auto dialer that we have in Digital Magic CRM, right? So those kind of things are what automation really covers. But, you know, when we are talking about automation, so here's what I found. Neurodiverse brain often struggles with tasks initiation, memory, and prioritization. It's kind of all over the place. And I know, Megan, you can absolutely relate. We can both relate in different ways. So that's really what it, you know, automation is kind of like an external part of the brain for us. And that's a very big part of how we operate, because we have good days. Sometimes we have bad days. So with all that, I don't want to take up too much time, but I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah, let's unpack that, because one of the things that anyone who's kind of been following along with my content or listening to me, or even Anthony, because I know Anthony has kind of also repeated what I'm going to say, so because he's heard me say it so many times. This is one of those reasons why I tell people, stop working on the shit that you hate. Stop working on the things that you don't like to do. And the reason that I focus on that so much in a lot of my content is because of this. What you just said, ADHD, ADD, and so many other neurodiverse people with their brains have a really hard time getting started with tasks. for whatever reason, like once I'm in the task, it's fine, right? Like I'm doing it and it's rocking and rolling. That's why I have noise canceling headphones, because I can hear all the buzzing and all the sounds and they irritate me. But this is why I say, don't work on shit that you don't like, because do you think that it's going to take me 10 times longer to start a task I hate? Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to do that task tomorrow. And then when you ask me about it tomorrow, I'm going to be like, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And it's always like the next day or the, you know, whatever. And then eventually 2 weeks from now, when that task is like 12 days overdue, I'm going to start it now, you know? And it was the same in high school with projects. It was the same. It's always been this way, which is why I never did my homework. And everybody's going to laugh, right? They're like, oh, maybe that's the reason my kid doesn't do your homework. Well, now here, hang on a second. I aced all my tests. So I did read the stuff and I knew what I was doing and I knew what I was talking about. I just didn't do any homework because I hated homework, but I was fine in the tests, right? So the next time your kid says that they're struggling with their homework, or, you know, if you have that good of a relationship, like I have a really great relationship with my sons, and that's kind of how I found out my one son also has ADHD, because he told me, Mom, I hate my homework. I can't even get started, and it takes me so long to do it, and it takes me so long to like figure out where to even start. And I knew right away that he was struggling with the same thing that I was struggling with. So it carries over to your adult life, right? Like it doesn't just disappear. I can't even imagine. So I also want to talk about the other thing, because you're talking about the pain in your mouth. And I know you and I have had this conversation so many times offline. But how the heck does that affect you? Like you're a salesperson. You talk to people for a living.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What,
so
I can't even automate that.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I mean, I pray once the pain starts to happen, I can't determine what the pain is going to be. I mean, the pain is going to be anywhere in my face, my ear, my head. It could be in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places. So because of that, right? I mean, forget about talking, right? I mean, talking can be very difficult. It just so happens that right now at this moment, I have no pain. I had pain up until this moment all day. And I had some calls. I had some customer calls before, and I have a couple of customer calls after. But at the end of the day, I mean, automation, like I said before, is your external brain. So it supports a part of the body that gets overwhelmed and really overstimulated. Yeah. So in my case, you know, forget about the ADHD, because I'm sure at MS, I probably have a portion of that too. But you know, with pain and everything else too, that really affects a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I mean, that's what really helps to clear your mind. And also it's kind of less things to worry about.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't really think about too many things besides the pain and just getting through it sometimes, but you have to. I mean, that's
absolutely
that's the way
it is. And what we're doing with you and your automation is helping relieve the rest of the stress, right? You know, you have 5, 6, 7 clients, whatever, and you're doing sales for all of these different people, and there's so many things, right? And so it's not just different clients and customers, it's different brands, right? So you're selling a bunch of different stuff, and I can't even imagine what stress does to exasperate the MS, right? Because I'm sure it does. I mean, stress exasperates everything, right? Like your weight, my ADHD, I know it makes, you know, your anxiety. So I can just imagine what it does to MS. So for what we're working on together, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed, is every time we put something into place for you that takes 5 minutes away from, you know, or gives you 5 minutes back, you message me and you're like, I am so happy. And so your stress is going down and your dopamine is going up, which dopamine is obviously way healthier for you, whether you have MS or not, but especially for someone like yourself, I can't even imagine, right? That's probably got to help you so much.
Absolutely.
Decrease the stress, increase the dopamine. This is what automation does, people. This is so beyond the fundamental levels of just doing repeating tasks.
And if you are going to take away one thing from this, is anything is possible. Anything is possible. And regardless of what your challenges are, right? My challenges are different than Megan's, and you know, everyone's challenges are different, but we all have them. And this is a way, technology, I always say, levels the playing field. So, you know, this is a way that you know, intentionally, non-intentionally, I was doing it, that I was doing it intentionally over the years. I didn't know it, but now I'm taking it to another level because as we talked about last week, right, with brain fog and everything like that, every day, at least for me, is a good day when things are choreographed. And that's what it is. It's, it's choreography. That's what we're doing here, people, with automation. So yeah, it's really incredible.
Let's give people some actual tips and tricks and things. Yeah. So there's a bunch of, like, you can go out there and you can Google automation tools like all you want, but I'm just going to tell you flat out some of the best ones that have worked for me. And then Anthony can jump in. And I know that he's got a bunch that he uses because for me, notifications are everything. This thing, not going to do it, right? People say, oh, just write your three things that you're going to do on your sticky notes, stick it there. Yeah, right. That sticky note's going to sit there all freaking day long. And it's not going to matter. I'm not going to check it off. In fact, I'm just going to ignore it. And then I'll look at it tomorrow and go, oh, shit, I didn't do any one of those things. Because the sticky notes that jumping out at me, even though it's sitting right in front of my face, I will ignore it. And for me, it is the notification process that is the most important. So I have Slack and I have my phone. And that is one of the things people think you need some fancy tool like Trello or To-Do List or Todoist, I think is T-O-D-O-I-S-T or whatever. Those are great, right? Trello is amazing if you like Kanban boards and has notifications and stuff like that. I love those types of tools. I'm a tech nerd, so that's why. But I love those types of tools because I can notify myself 12 different ways. Like I can notify, like, for example, for Trello, it integrates with Slack, and Slack is my lifeline to my team, and it integrates with all of my softwares. I'm a huge Slack fan because I can get notifications from every single piece of software and system or tool that I use inside Slack. So everything that I use has to be integrated with Slack, and then Slack will notify me so that at the end of the day, realistically, I could run my entire business just off of Slack because it's going to notify me and I have it on my phone, right? And for other people, they find it really annoying, right? Like when you first kind of, let's take Darren. Here's a good story. He won't mind me telling this story. For instance, when Darren started using Slack originally, because I said I use Slack and I moved him and Nat over to Slack and now we use it for everything. He hated it. He hated Slack because it was, anytime somebody messaged you, you got a notification. Anytime a calendar, like, you got a notification. Anytime anything happened, you got a notification. Ask him if he hates it now. He loves it. Because with our ADHD brains, those notifications are our lifeline, right? They are, I get Slack notifications everywhere. It doesn't matter. And yeah, I would think that for some people, it's probably super distracting and annoying. But for me, it's great. Because yeah. I need that, right? And even my team, right? You know, and it's funny because even though I have my little Slack bot and it notifies me of everything under the sun, it's connected to Google Calendar, notifies me of my calendar meetings, it notifies me of everything. My team still, they'll send me the little eyeball emojis, you know, when I have to approve something because I still forget it. Like I get the notification and I look at it and I go, oh yeah, I got to do that. And then I go back to what I'm doing. And then 10 minutes later, Andrea will send me the little eyeball notifications. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I still didn't look at that yet. And so it's just funny how different people think about notifications and things like that. Because for me, I need as many notifications as possible. And for somebody else, they're like, stop.
Notifications are a way to actually be myself in the course of a day. So I can sit here and talk. I mean, I'm kind of a talker and, you know, it's great to have a conversation with people and, you know, go off on tangents and everything. But whether it's your alarm on your iPhone or, you know, a notification, I mean, one of the great things, Megan, that I love about Digital Magic CRM as a person that is calling and having workflows and everything like that, I get texts when I need to call people. Holy cow. That's amazing to me. So even though I see it a lot and everything, it does remind me. So it's one of those reminders that's in place that really, instead of me being here and all over the place, I go here. So I'm not really taking that energy and stressing about what do I have to do next. Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's the thing. It just takes out one less thing to worry about. And that worry can be translated to us. And for me, that stress can add to pain, whether or not it's pain or something else. That's
everyone to take a step back and listen to what Anthony just said, because whether you're like us or not, think about this. If you never had to worry about what to work on next, how much time and brain energy would you save? If you never had to worry about the next phone call, the next task, the next task on your to-do list, or the next thing that you needed to work on, if you never had to worry about that for your entire day, for your entire week, for the rest of your life, think about how much energy you would have. All of the systems that we work with and help people put into place can do that, right? So digital magic serum that Anthony's talking about. So we can send notifications. Here's just a really good step-by-step example. Anthony has a setup where this power dialer has, let's see, it has 150 numbers on it that he has to call. Somebody books an appointment with him. They obviously get the automatic notifications. He gets automatic notifications to his email, to the software, and to his phone. He's then reminded, obviously, of the meeting. He gets on, he has the meeting, you know, and then the system takes over and does any kind of the nurturing and emails and automations and stuff like that. And let's say he makes a phone call and it hits a voicemail. The system is then going to tell him within 24 hours, it's going to send him an email to his email. It's going to send an SMS to his phone. It's going to send a system notification. So when he logs into the system, he'll get the notification up at the top. We could technically add a Slack notification in there. And it's going to say within 24 hours, it's going to say, hey, Anthony, it's time to make your next phone call. Remember, you know, and we can put in there, like, remember the voicemail you left for Bob Smith? And you know what, notifies him. So he doesn't have to think about who to call.
I call that guardrails. Right? I mean, that's really what it is.
The bumper bowling.
Guardrails, whatever. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, as, you know, many entrepreneurs may be watching this too, this is a way for us to, everyone, every successful entrepreneur that you hear about, that you read about, that says, I have 50 businesses that I'm managing. Well, holy cow, you look so relaxed. How are you doing it? Oh, I have a framework. I'm able to then put into, this is what we're talking about, people. This is what we're talking about. You have a framework, but I don't want to get off topic too much and really talk more about the day-to-day and how this stuff actually does work that you can, you know, apply to your life.
And what's great about it is it's 100% customizable, right? Like, obviously, everybody has unique tasks to them. Everybody has a unique business. No two businesses are alike. You know, you could have five salespeople in a room and they're all going to do selling, but they're going to do it their own way, right? Yeah. Are there good ways and bad ways of selling? Probably. But you know what? You do what works for you. You have to be you. So when we talk about building systems and processes for people, we customize that for the individual, not necessarily just the brand, but for the individual. When we're working with individual people, it has to be customized. When you're talking about notifications, it has to be customized for the team or the people that are using it. And so there's, I think a lot of people screw that up, right?
Yeah.
They think that they're going to buy a software or a system or a tool that's going to just come out of the box and it's going to work for them. And then they find out it doesn't work for them. Well, that's because you're looking in the wrong thing. You're being sold a piece of software instead of being sold the features and benefits of using, you know, and setting it up the right way. And you can use your phone. Guys, you all have iPhones. You have smartphones. Everybody and their mother has a smartphone this day and age. My mom has a smartphone. She's 78 years old and she's figuring out how to use her iPhone. And it's great. She and now I've taught her how to program her calendar. So, like, when you think about this, why are you not using the best tool that you have on you all the time?
Yeah.
Everyone has a smartphone. It has task lists. If you're using an iPhone, okay, there are, I can name five. There's notes. You can have, just like, you can put notes in there. You can actually assign dates to the notes and it'll notify you. Like, you write a note, I have to call this person. You can put a date on it and it will do it as a notification. Then there's actually a task list like application that comes out of your iPhone where you can create a list of tasks and put due dates on there and it'll notify you and you can add up to like 10 notifications. So there's two ways. You can have two different pieces of applications giving you notifications from your phone. And then there's the calendar. You create an event on your calendar. What does it have? It has a date. What's it going to do? It's going to ring and vibrate or pop up a notification. There's three. There's, if you have Google or anything like that, your calendar installed on there outside of just the Apple calendar. You could have two. I have Google Calendar and my iPhone calendar both on my phone so that I get two notifications for every meeting invite so that I'm not late.
So
yeah, I'm not crazy. I'm not psycho. No, so I'm saying like there's a way. If there's a will, there's a way. And you can, there are so many choices out there and there's so many options out there. And if you guys don't know what, like, if you're like, this is really overwhelming, I don't want to choose, talk to somebody like Anthony or I. And what we do is we don't have a conversation about, well, what tasks are you trying to, I don't care about what tasks you're trying to notify you. I need to know about you and your personality, what annoys you, what doesn't annoy you. And you know, where are you struggling and why are you struggling? Are you missing meetings? Are you always late? Are you always forgetting things? Like, I don't necessarily care about the individual task itself. I care about your personality and your brain and how you're going to use the notifications we're going to help you set up. And I think that's a fundamental thing that people just forget when they're trying to just buy software or they're trying to set up these types of notifications is they just assume that all, you know, it's all the same. All notifications are the same. Every two pieces of software are created equal. So not true. So not true.
Yeah. And Megan, I mean, you bring up a great point with that too. That's not one size fits all. There is a real thing called automation fatigue. Although I don't know if I just made that up. But the point is that, you know, depending on your personality, depending on how you use things, depending on how you need things, maybe you don't need three notifications, right? And that's okay too, right. But that's all possible. You make it work for you. And that's what I learned. Exactly. And Megan, you, once you really opened my mind to that, holy cow. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing.
I think people get so, and there's definitely is a thing such as automation fatigue or over automating. I talk about it all the time, right? Everyone jokes with me, right? Like I'm the queen of automation, right? I've bought the domain name. I'm living up to my namesake, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, there is 100% such a thing as over automation, especially when it comes to task notification. Because again, no two people are alike. I am insane and have like 8,000 notifications a day pop up in my face all over the place because that's what I need. Other people maybe only want two, right? Like, are there some best practices? Absolutely. When you book a calendar link or you book a meeting and you get those calendar notifications, when you're setting it up for your customers and somebody external, there should be at least a minimum of two, right? Like the day before or like an hour before, and then 5 minutes before. Like there are some best practices that are out there that you should follow. And then when you put those notifications out, you know, and people say, stop, you don't need to send me five notifications before our meeting. Then you're like, okay, let's scale it back a little. But when it comes to just you, you have as many notifications as you want. Nobody else cares. Nobody else is getting them. So like if you are feeling like weird or I can't even think of the right word right now. I can give you a use case.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you a real life use case, right? If I'm taking medication for my face and it makes me kind of tired and stuff during the day at some point.
Yep.
Yeah. I maybe need some more notifications to make sure that, yeah, don't miss this or make sure you take care of that. And again, depending on what you need.
That's a really good use case because for me, that's one of the reasons why right now everything goes into Slack for me. Because if I'm having an off day, you know, and this is another really good thing to think about, right? Like not everybody wants Slack on their phone. I have it on my phone, so I always have it connected because I do have a small team of people that rely on me. I just feel like I need to always be connected to that. I don't want them to ever feel like they can't reach me, like if there was an emergency or something like that. But for me, that's one of the reasons that everything goes to Slack, because if I'm having an off day and I'm not sitting here in this desk, I'm still getting the notifications, even if I ignore them. Even if my team knows that I'm gone for 4 hours, they also know that I still want to see the notifications. I still want to see that when I come back to my desk in 4 hours, I have content that I have to review. I have this. I have these approvals that I have to go through. That's one of the things I love about Slack. Will notify you once, like it's going to pop up the notification on your phone. You see it, and then it goes away. But then when I come back and I open it up on my desktop, all the notifications are still there. Like, they don't just disappear. And they live in a notification list, even though they're marked as unread or read. You can go back and you can look through. I can go back and look for the last 5 or 6 hours or the last however many hours of notifications that I got on my phone and start at the bottom and go, okay, this is what I missed. This is what I ignored, if you will. And it's great. I am one of those super weird people that does that. Like, I get the notification, ignore it, get the notification, ignore it. But then when I come back to my desk, I go back 10, 15 notifications and I go through them and make sure I done it all.
Yeah.
It's a really weird way, you know, that's what works for my brain. Everybody's brain is different. You have to do what works for you. And don't be, you know, don't be scared to admit that you need 500 notifications. Who cares? Again, it's your person that's getting them. Anthony's not getting my 800 notifications. He doesn't give a shit how many notifications I get to remind me of our meetings. Like, he doesn't care because he's not getting them. So people need to kind of get out of their heads and step over thinking it. If you need 500 notifications, awesome. Show up, get your 500 notifications and do you and move on. Everything's right in the world.
Yeah. So
please,
Megan,
don't send me 500 notifications. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So in my research, and you know, maybe this is a way to, at the end of this, is that, you know, your automation is that you, whether you're using Slack, Teams, you know, WebEx, I mean, who knows, whatever you're using, you're removing the pressure.
Yeah, it's Google.
Google. Yeah. You're removing the pressure to remember stuff. You're skipping the daily, what should I do next spiral. And you're giving yourself permission to focus on the work, not on the setup.
Yep.
And when you get to that point, that is the holy grail. That's amazing. And, you know,
because one of the things too that helps you accomplish more throughout your day, when you know, people talk about time blocking all the time. Time blocking and notifications go hand in hand, and they are going to make your life so much easier. I have time blocked off for LinkedIn comments in the morning. I have time blocked off for this podcast. Like, you time block. Content creation is all, you know, and even my content creation day on Wednesdays is blocked off for this brand, this brand, this brand, or like, I want to do video. I want to do this. I want to write. I'm telling you, if you do that, and then you also set up the notifications to go along with that, right? The problem is you have to actually follow the notification right there. Don't do what I do. Do what Anthony does. I ignore my notifications.
It takes a while. I am not there yet. I am trying to do that hand in hand with my time blocking and everything as my business evolves. And let me tell you, it's evolving, but it's pretty amazing. And knowing that there are ways to really do it, and not only just do it, but do it really well and do it in a way that is, you know, really works for you and, you know, your needs and everything. So, but that's also something that you can bring, let's say, on vacation. Well, I'm not saying you want to work on vacation, but I'm just saying if you go somewhere else to, you know, when you have a few hours to work, you can take that framework with you too. So it's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. What's funny, I always tell this story because even when I'm on vacation, again, I have those Slack notifications, but what I do the last major beach vacation we went on with the whole family is that I gave my 15-year-old my phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, don't give this back to me until like 9 o'clock tonight. And then I'll go back like here. And he loved it. He took my phone and, like, you know, he obviously, I knew where he was and where my phone was, and he just thrown in the ocean or anything, but he had my phone and he just took it away and it was great. So if there are ways to unconnect too, right? Like, if you have to have notifications for whatever reason and you still want to unconnect, you can do it. You can obviously turn off the notifications and stuff like that. But the point of this whole conversation, and hopefully everybody gets it, is that we're just here to share what works for us and kind of share all of the different options that are out there. But the point of this whole conversation is that you need to do you, and you have to do what works best for you, whether you work for yourself, whether you work for somebody else. You can very easily, even working for somebody else, set up these types of notifications to help you get your own work done. I mean, it doesn't have to be just entrepreneurs that do this. Anybody can set this stuff up so that it works for them.
Yeah. And if your brain feels loud and scattered like mine has for most of my adult life, my entire adult life, or just tired all the time too, you're not broken. It just means that you may need a better system, and automation is the better system. And it's not hard to do. Like Megan was saying, there are some little steps that you can take. There are some bigger steps that you can take too, but just focus on the small steps to do that. And you know, you're going to get there.
Yep. One thing at a time too. So my suggestion is to start with something like Time Saver or Rescue Time. Rescue Time is a tool that you can download to your computer, whether you're Mac or PC, doesn't matter. You download the application to your computer and it tracks and monitors everything. And when I mean everything, I mean everything. It's going to track how long you're on Facebook, how long you're on Instagram, how long your email is open. I mean, it tracks every single thing that you do. And then what you do, it does is it gives you a report and it shows you where you're wasting your time. It's insane. So I used to be completely obsessed with these and now I only check them like once a month. We're talking like, and I will tell you, you will be afraid when you first see it. You're the first report that you pull, you are going to be terrified and grossed out with how much time you spend on TikTok or social media or in your email. Like it's going to be a disgusting report and you're going to go, holy shit, like this is insane. But it shows you on a daily basis where you are wasting your time, where time is sucking away, right? And then you take that, and this is where you start to build your automations for your personal systems and time blocking and to-do lists and stuff like that. And once you realize where all your time is being wasted and what you're wasting all your time on, then you can start to put things in place to eliminate that. You can say, oh my God, I spent 8 hours today on email. And then, all right, let's start there. How do we get this down to one? How do we get this down to 15 minutes? How do we get this down to a half an hour? So then you start with one thing on the report, and then you go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and you just start kind of picking it off. If you try to do your entire schedule all at once, it's not going to work. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. And it's going to overwhelm you because you're not going to know even know where to get and where to start. One thing at a time. No matter what, just do one thing at a time. Pick one thing off. Get that cleared up. It usually takes about 14 to 21 days for a habit to form. And then you move to the next one. And then you move to the next one. But eventually, you will have kind of a nice personal, you know, checklist automation kind of thing in place. And you'll be able to save time. That's what worked for me. I'm assuming I would love to hear from everybody. If you're watching this or you're listening to this or you're on LinkedIn, you're seeing it, give us some comments and stuff. Like what works for you guys? I would love to have that spark that discussion because there's so many things out there that people could do to work through all of this. And I know that we know kind of a bunch of people in our little inner circle that have different like varieties of ways that they're doing this. So we have one friend whose calendar is so time blocked. She's got like bathroom breaks scheduled on her calendar. Like, she's got so many things blocked off. And I was like looking at her calendar and she's like, what do you think I should do with this? So I was like, burn it and start over. Crazy. But you know what works for her?
I kind of admit that I tried like time blocking recently and I had no time for anything. And I was like, So, you know what, it's a trial and error.
Yeah, definitely over time block for sure. Like you really could. You could time block everything, and you have to give your brain some like time to also breathe, right? Like you have to give brain like energy and freedom for to not think like it has something to do all the time. But
I think what's the key here, Megan, that you said is that you have to know yourself. Just like Socrates said, know yourself.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And ignore what everybody else is telling you. In fact, you can ignore this whole podcast if you want.
Ignore us. Like, you don't have to listen to us. You have to do what works for you, right? At the end of the day, just do what works for you and ignore everything else. I mean, that's really what it is. It comes down to.
What did I miss, Anthony? I feel like we got it all, didn't we? What else were we going to talk about today?
I was dropping some Socrates. I mean, holy cow, that was pretty awesome.
You know, where did you pull that one out of? Do you actually have that written in your notes?
I was thinking of like, know thyself, and I'll be honest with you, I did a ChatGPT. I'm like, who said that? But nice. Yeah, this was a great conversation, Megan. I mean, I could have gone on forever. And I was feeling it all day, too, with the pain and just I've been very tired today, too. I fell asleep at my desk and like, you know, but that's it. And you just continue just with for only 10 minutes. I mean, with going, I probably like I woke myself up snoring. But the key is that, you know, having some sort of, you know, if it's bad, then it's bad. Then you move on. You can't do stuff. But you know what? I've learned that, yeah, it can be painful, but move on. Sure. And that's it. Get through it. Don't be a wuss.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. It's like, yeah, you mentioned this last time, too. Like, and just don't beat yourself up. Like, if you pick a path of whatever these notifications are or time blocking or whatever, like Anthony said, you know, like you try time blocking and you absolutely hate it, well then don't do it. Like try something else. Like, and don't beat yourself up over it. And what I see so many people doing is they try stuff and it doesn't work for them. And then they like beat themselves up and they're like, oh, I wasted so much time trying this. And you know what? Who cares? Move on. Like, yeah, you may have wasted some time on it, but it was positive time wasted because you're starting to figure out like what you like and don't like. That's not a bad thing. Failing is not a bad thing. That means you're learning from whatever you just failed at. And I don't even, when it's personal, like personal stuff, personal notifications, personal time blocking, personal stuff, I don't consider that a failure. I consider you kind of learning about yourself and what you like and don't like. And I don't necessarily consider that a failure at all. In fact, I don't like it when people say that because you don't know what you like and don't like if you've never tried it before. So how else are you going to know? So that is not failing. That is not failing, everybody. You're doing just a great job. You're trying
something. Trying something that doesn't work. And that's it. Move on.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I hope this was helpful to everybody. And Anthony, as always, next week, what are we talking about next week? Next week, see, this is, we're doing more tech stuff. It's always going to be tech stuff. But I think we're going to change up next week because it's very similar to kind of talking about what we talked today. And we'll jump to transforming distractions into productivity. So we're going to have some fun stuff to share there and piggyback off what we talked about today. And maybe we'll even have a little freebie that we can give out to people and kind of, you know, people want to see it. I think that we should show them. What do you think, Anthony? You think we should show them some of the stuff that we should show them some of your stuff, like, and how kind of like maybe a 5-step type of automation thing that we've built for you so that they can see, like, from a sales perspective, here's how we've automated Anthony's this. And I mean, I can even break down some of my stuff and we'll share it with you guys and we'll put it out as a PDF or something you guys can download and check it out. Yeah, that's all we got for now. Guys, remember, technology is only good when it works. And this is Chronically Automated. And we hopefully are helping all sorts of neurodiverse people out there understand that they can own a business if they choose to. They can do this. It's possible. We're living proof. We know a bunch of other people that are living with this that are living proof. And maybe we'll bring them on as guests someday. A few people I'm thinking of in particular. But yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about. Yeah. All right, guys. See you next week. And that is all for now. Bye, everybody.